Please turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. Again, we have one of these verses of Scripture that contains two distinct sentences, and we're considering each of them separately. Last week, we looked at recompense to no man evil for evil today. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this exhortation. Help us to understand the imperative of honesty in the Christian life. May we live lives that not only do we say honest things, we live honestly. Teach us something about that today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever ordered something from a catalog or online? Lots of us have. And you see the picture, and you see the description. It looks like a quality piece of merchandise. The description of the item makes it sound really, really good, and the price seems fair, so you order it, and then it comes. It's just a little bit above a piece of junk. It's made of cheap material. It's probably going to break the second time you use it. You probably couldn't sue them for false advertising, but you might want to, because they've exaggerated the virtues of this product and have crossed the line of absolute honesty. There are many ways in our lives that we advertise our virtues. But I wonder, suppose we were to go with you 24 hours a day for 7 days a week, would we have the same impression of you as we do when we see you for a couple of hours on Sunday? Romans chapter 12, verse 17 says, provide things honest in the sight of whom? All men. What is honesty? Honesty, I think, has two aspects. On the one hand, honesty involves our actions. An honest person always acts with careful regard to what is true and right and never violates any laws in his dealings with other people. An honest person never sells bad products. An honest person does not steal from his employer and does not let anyone else do that. An honest person always pays what he owes. And an honest person never adopts methods of deception. Would you go to Mark chapter 10, beginning of verse 17? Mark chapter 10. Did you know that defraud not was one of the Ten Commandments? Mark chapter 10, verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. What's the next one? Defraud not. Did you know that was one of the Ten Commandments? Honor thy father and thy mother. Now, do not commit adultery is number 7. Do not kill is number 6. Do not steal is number 8. Do not bear false witness is number 9. Honor thy father and thy mother is number 5. So out of those, we have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. What do you think defraud not would relate to? 10. Thou shalt not covet. Jesus is saying that covetousness leads to dishonest attempts to transfer your neighbor's things to yourself. That's what it means to defraud. Like embezzling from your employer or deceiving your neighbor, claiming that the tool you borrowed was stolen, when actually you're the one that stole it from him because you won't give it back. He says, beware of covetousness in saying, defraud not. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 3. First Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning of verse 3, and the first thing we see in verse 3 is, for this is the will of God. And I want you to notice at the end of verse 3 there is not a period, and at the end of verse 4 there is not a period, and at the end of verse 5 there is not a period. You don't see a period until the end of verse 6. And so 3, 4, 5, and 6 is all one sentence. In other words, when he says, for this is the will of God, all of the things in those verses are part of the will of God. And he lists some things for us. Number 1, in verse 3, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. That's part of the will of God. In verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. That's part of the will of God. Verse 5, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That's part of the will of God. And then verse 6, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner. That's part of the will of God. Honesty means you do not take advantage of others by deception. You always do the right thing. But honesty also involves some principles, things we believe. An honest person has a disposition to act with careful regard to what is true and right. He would never lie about his neighbor's tool being stolen. An honest person holds to correct moral principles. He would never embezzle from his employer. And honesty always keeps a person within the line of duty. Honesty is part of a person's character. Would you go to Luke chapter 8 and verse 15? Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. Don't you just love to hear those pages turn? I just had to wait for a moment and listen to that. Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, but that on the ground, good ground are they, and this is in the parable of the sower, and it's the good ground, but on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. An honest and good heart. Go to Psalm 15, which we might call the Psalm of an Honest Person. Psalm 15. It's just a little psalm, 5 verses. Psalm 15, verse 1, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacles? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. You don't just speak the truth to impress people. You don't just speak the truth so that you can be accepted in the right group. You speak the truth because it's a principle of your heart. It's part of who you are. Verse 3, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. Verse 4, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. If you recall, without turning there, Luke chapter 6, verse 45, Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. You put these verses together, and what do you have? Genuine honesty comes from a heart that has been made good by the Word of God. Back to Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. What does it mean to provide things honest? Provide. It's interesting that this English word, provide, comes directly from the Latin, and they would pronounce it a little bit differently, provide. You can see how V-I-D-E, vide, provide. We pronounce it provide. They pronounce it in Latin, provide. Pro means before. Vide means to see. Provide means to see before. Now, the word originally comes from a Greek word, which we have in the Bible. You can see it in Strong's Concordance. And it means to know beforehand. To see beforehand, to know beforehand. Seeing and knowing beforehand what is needed. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 1 says, we'll get there. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1 says, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of a tongue is from the Lord. Well, if honesty comes from the heart and you are to provide things honest, makes sense that the word provide means to prepare. Prepare. So you first prepare your heart and then you speak. Providing things honest means, therefore, that we plan, we think about, we prepare beforehand how we can present ourselves to others so that what they see is genuine and not pretend. There should be no false advertising in our lives. I wanted to use as an illustration an example of false advertising. So I did a little research and I looked up, you know, on the internet, a list of examples of false advertising. And I picked a couple, but I always like to confirm and not just take it from one source. So then I found out that the place that said such and such product was false advertising was providing false information about that false advertising. Someone once said, "Oh, it's absolutely true. How do you know? 'Cause it was on the internet." Well, I didn't trust giving an example lest I be spreading false information. But there can be false advertising in the world, and maybe you know some examples of things that have happened along that line. But the question is, can people trust what we present about ourselves? At home, are you the way you are at church? At church, are you the way you are at work? At work, are you the way you are other places? Do you act the same when you're on vacation? Or how about at the ball game? You see, we are to provide things honest in the sight of all men. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 20. We'll get there. Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Not just in church, not just when you're having your devotions. But in the sight of men wherever you happen to be. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, again, but this time verse 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9. I hope you notice that everything I have to say is based upon the Word of God. I'm not very good at the gift of gab and just run on and on and on, you know. So if I can't base it on the Word of God, I don't want to say it. So that's why we turn to a lot of verses a lot of times, unless we're looking at a single passage of Scripture for a while. So here we are in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9. And it says, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." So it's saying that you've learned how to act with fellow Christians pretty well. We come here in this place and we have a way we conduct ourselves together as believers. But it continues on, and it says in verse 10, "And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you." But then comes this, verse 12, "that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without." It's pretty comfortable in here. We get along pretty well. Most of us know everybody else, or at least some of us know some of us. Hopefully more of us get to know more of us. And the doors are closed. And it's pretty easy to like one another. But what happens when you walk out that door? You become exposed to an entirely different group of people. And they haven't been in this room. And probably an awful lot of them haven't been in any room like this. Because church attendance is way down. How will we act in front of those people? Why is this so difficult? It's something about a human nature that causes us to tend to conform to the environment in which we are living. I grew up in Maryland. Now, Maryland is sort of southern. It's certainly more southern than Pennsylvania. And when I was growing up, there was a certain accent that I had. But it wasn't Deep South accent, and it was much, very much different than Deep South accent. And when I first went to college, I went to college in Tennessee for a semester, and the way I pronounced some words sounded awfully funny to the other students, and they would laugh at me. Now, one of the words in particular was the word W-A-S-H. I grew up saying warsh. There's no R in the word. But that's the way we said it, warsh. Any of you say it? No. That's all right. But it embarrassed me to be laughed at because I was saying warsh, and so I determined I was going to conform, and I wasn't going to say warsh anymore. I was going to say wash, and I had to practice saying it that way. We have to be careful about the kind of conforming we do to the various environments in which we find ourselves. Because the Bible says we are to provide things honest, not only among ourselves, but among those who are without. And then there's this, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. First Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. Did you know that when we become Christians, we're not actually Gentiles anymore? The Bible distinguishes between three groups: Israel, the church, and Gentiles. When we become Christians, we're not Gentiles anymore. How about that? The Gentiles are the unsaved people that are outside the church. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, people out there are going to describe us as evil no matter what we do. It says in verse 12 that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, there are even news media people these days that are equating Christianity with the bad guys. It's all our fault. They're going to do that anyway. So he says, don't give them an excuse. Don't give them a legitimate reason to criticize us. but have your conversation honest among the Gentiles. That, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, your honest living, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation, so that when Jesus comes and they stand before Jesus and they say, well, so and so, he was a Christian and he did this or that, and they won't be able to say that because we lived honestly. You know, it really can creep into the church, this dishonesty. And we need to be aware and on the guard regarding this. I'm going to tell you a true story. I was an eyewitness to this. I was not the pastor in this story, okay? But it's a true story. And I was an eyewitness to it. There was a church that became divided, and someone from the church called the newspaper, pretended to be the pastor, and put an ad in the paper putting the church piano for sale. And then that group of people sued the pastor for attempting to steal church property. The church ended up in court, half on one side and half on the other. And one of the main witnesses was a man who hadn't attended the church in years, presenting false testimony. What impression did that make on the judge or the other people that were working in the court? Not good, was it? We should never have that kind of testimony. Therefore, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22, we should abstain from all appearance of evil. The Apostle Paul was overseeing a collection of money to provide for the poor. Do you remember that in the Bible? He's overseeing a collection of money for the poor in Jerusalem. As the years were creeping closer to 70 AD, what happened in 70 AD? Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans. And as time was creeping closer and closer to 70 AD, and there were more and more zealots. Remember, one of the disciples was a zealot. The zealots among the Jews were those who wanted to rebel against Rome and break free of Rome. And there were more and more of these zealots and more rebellion in Israel. And so the Romans started clamping down, and the economy in Jerusalem got very, very bad. And it was hard to get a job. And so if you were a Christian, if you were a Jew who had converted to Christianity, you were the last one to get a job. So Paul is trying to collect money from all around the Mediterranean world from other Christians to send back to Jerusalem to help these folks out. It turned out to be a considerable amount of money. We need to be honest when it comes to money, don't we? 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 16. Paul provided for integrity in the collection of this money. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 16. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches, and not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace. He says, I have chosen people to carry this money who have the utmost integrity. Verse 20, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in the abundance of this, in this abundance which is administered by us. Because of Paul's objective, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Here at our church, two men count the money, not just one. And every Sunday, it's a different two men for 4 weeks. We have four different teams, I think that's right, isn't it? Four different teams of two men. So the same two men don't count consecutive Sundays. Two people handle every check. One person writes the check, another person signs the check. We provide for honest things. To protect the money handlers, for one thing, and to provide for honest things before the Lord and before all of you. Providing things honest is the principle of transparency and accountability. Romans chapter 12 and verse 13 said, let us walk honestly as in the day. What does he mean by that? Well, you remember last weekend was kind of rainy. And when we were going home Sunday night, it was dark, heavy cloud cover. You ever notice when it's raining and it's wet that it's harder to see, especially on some of the back roads? And we're driving on those country roads that gets to our house, and I'm noticing how dark it is. It would be easy for somebody to be walking on one of the roads and not be noticed because it was so dark. On the other hand, on a day like today, we're driving on those same roads, it'd be very easy to see someone. He says, walk honestly as in the day. Make sure everybody can see you clearly. See you honestly, clearly. We ought always want our lives to be visible to others as if we are walking in the daylight. Do you ever notice that shoplifters will wear heavy coats even in warm weather? They'll have a big heavy coat with nice big pockets. And they go in the store and stuff their pockets. And you're wondering, you're in short sleeves and it's 95 degrees out. Why is this guy wearing a big heavy overcoat? Figuratively speaking, when it says provide for things honest before all men, we might put it this way. Take off the trench coat. Let people see. Psalm 92, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show. That's our responsibility, to show that the Lord is upright. If we want people to know the Lord, and we are not entirely honest people, what will their impression of God be? It is absolutely imperative that we be honest in all things. Because our public testimony is really not about ourselves. It's about giving people an impression about God. if we claim he made us what we are, then we better be honest people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this lesson. I pray that you will work in all of our hearts so that we will want to speak the truth and live honestly, not just because we're supposed to, but because it really is a principle of our hearts. And as other people watch us, may we have the opportunity to give you the credit for what we are. Honest people, through and through. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.